Today's program is dedicated to a panel on citizen engagement in government. Our in-studio guests are Corey Tanita, Executive Director of Common Cause Hawaii, Janet Mason, Co-Chair of the League of Women Voters, and Virginia Beck, Coordinator at the Hawaii Legislature's Public Access Room. We're asking you to call us and join in on that topic by calling 941-3689 on Oahu or 1-877-941-3689 on Neighbor Islands.
Before we jump into our discussion and take your calls, we're going to check in with reporter Sherry Bracken to talk about this weekend's false alarm.
Saturday morning's text message about an incoming ballistic missile had people looking to government for answers, answers most of us did not get for a tense 38 minutes. As we continue to gather information about what happened when, who knew it was a false alarm, and when they knew it, we're going to check in with Sherry Bracken, HPR's Hawaii Island reporter, about how emergency information flowed to the people of the Big Island. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Chris. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm a lot better than I was Saturday morning. And, you know, one of the things that's interesting about Hawaii Island is that your mayor is a very experienced civil defense spokesperson. He knows how that whole system works. Did that make things different for you on Hawaii Island?
Well, I have to say, not exactly, although Harry Kim, who is our mayor and was with Hawaii County Civil Defense for many, many years,
yeah,
he was at Civil Defense within just about 5 minutes because he lives about two blocks above it. But that did not get the messages out as soon as one would have liked to know that it was a false alarm. You know, the alert was at 8:07. Harry Kim did record and send out an audio message to radio stations at 8:24, but that required that somebody be at the radio stations to load it.
Yeah.
And our Hawaii County Civil Defense has the capability to use the EAS system, the emergency alert system, so they can automatically send a message and it will automatically go on radio stations, but they did not use it on Saturday. They also sent out what they call a blackboard message, a text message at 8:36, saying it was a false alarm, but they chose not to have the police department use their Nixle system, which has a wider distribution, to send out something. So the communication here on this island was also a bit lacking.
You know, one of the things, and I think Harry Kim himself said this, one of the things that pointed out was the apparent absence of a statewide protocol that everyone, you know, puts everyone on the same page.
Absolutely. Harry has mentioned that he wants to see the state have a master plan for this kind of thing, which would allow the counties, and under that, the county agencies, to develop their own plans, and that just hasn't happened. In fact, the Hawaii County Police Department, I went to the Kona station the next morning to talk to the sergeant who had been on duty on Saturday, and they didn't really have specific protocol. One of the officers actually evacuated, went into one restaurant and told the restaurant to evacuate, but then realized that was not the right thing to do, so other restaurants weren't given that message. And although Hawaii County Police official spokesperson told me they received the official notification that it was a false alarm at 8:30, The Kona station told me they learned it was a false alarm when they heard it on the radio, meaning listening to one of our local radio stations.
Again, so, and again, yeah. Sherry, we come back to communication, timing, and apparent absence of any single system, yeah?
That is absolutely true, and that absolutely has to be fixed. You know, somebody this morning, I was talking to a reporter who's Hilo-based, and he said, my sense of all this is this has just helped people on the Big Island feel even more detached, because Oahu seem to know things sooner than the Big Island, maybe or maybe not. Some people here were very calm about this. Some were very panicky. But interestingly, many people decided that if this was real, rather than stay in a store where they could be sheltered, such as Target and Kona, which welcomed people, they made an announcement, stay, go, whatever you want to do, people got on the road because they said, we'd rather be with our family if this is true and this is the end.
And that's, of course, getting out on the road in a real emergency might be the worst possible thing you could do. So,
absolutely. I talked to a man this morning who traditionally goes to the Keaho Farmers Market on Saturday mornings, and he was going down Kamehameha 3 Road, and the traffic going up the road was jammed, and he thought, oh, there must be an accident somewhere down on Ali'i Drive. But no, it was just people who had left the Keauhou Farmers Market and were trying to go someplace, which they could not get to because the traffic was so bad.
You know, Sherry, just one final question. Going back to Harry Kim's message to the radio stations, how much of this, how much of all the confusion do you think has to do with the fact that it happened on a Saturday morning?
Actually, I think it was good it happened on a Saturday morning. If people had been taking their kids to school at that time and there'd been more traffic on the road, it would have been worse. But
got a point
the radio
there.
Station thing, all radio stations on this island are staffed during the week, but on weekends, the timing is a little more erratic. So from that standpoint, but the thing is, civil defense and the state have the capability to use the emergency broadcast system that allows them to put the message on the radio regardless of staffing or not. So it's just a matter of procedures and communication.
Good point. Thanks, as always, Sherry. A pleasure to talk to you. Thanks very much.
A pleasure talking with you, Chris. Aloha.
Sherry Bracken is Hawaii Public Radio's contributing reporter on Hawaii Island, host of the podcast Island Issues. And you can find a link to all her reporting on our website, hawaiipublicradio.org.
Support for Hawaii Public Radio comes from Pacific Buddhist Academy, a college prep high school, announcing an admissions open house on January 31st. PacificBuddhistAcademy.org, enlightened learning.
I'm just a bill, yes, I'm only a bill, and I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the capital city. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee, but I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will, but today I am still just a bill.
And you're back with The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Chris Vandergut.
And I'm Catherine Cruz. And let's get right to our panel discussion of citizen engagement in government. Again, our in-studio guests are Virginia Beck, coordinator at the Hawaii Legislature's Public Access Room, Corey Tanita, executive director of Common Cause Hawaii, and Janet Mason, co-chair of the League of Women Voters.
We're asking listeners to weigh in by calling us at 941-3689 or 1-877-941-3689 on Neighbor Islands.
Welcome to you all. And to our listeners, how well do you understand the role you play in government? Do you know who your neighborhood board representative is? Let's hear from you.
And welcome to all of our guests.
Thank you.
Obviously, the events of the weekend got a lot of people looking to government for answers, and which leads us to a kind of a broader discussion of, trust in government, engagement in government. Janet, what's your take on that?
Well, I think in the situation last weekend, there was really no substitute for government in terms of providing direction and information to the public. And yes, you're right. Trust is critical. Otherwise, democracy isn't going to work.
Well, is democracy, as in terms of voter participation, and I'll put this question to all three of you, has declined a great deal in Hawaii. What do you think that indicates?
I think it's not clear why people are not voting in Hawaii. We really don't know the facts behind that. What we can do is try to protect the right to vote, try to encourage people to vote, try to make it more convenient for people to vote. And many of us, all of us here today, are working on that approach.
Corey Tanita, from the perspective of Common Cause, do you feel that citizen engagement is on the upswing or declining? Where do you think it's at these days?
I think we're in a very interesting time right now. To your earlier question about trust in government, you know, it's not just about ensuring people that we have the correct information and that, we're not corrupt, but it's also ensuring them that things are working and that they are working towards solutions as well. And so I think they're, going on with things going on at the federal level and also here locally in the counties and the state, there is a new movement, whether you call it resistance or just getting back into the swing of things. I think it's a whole bunch of new faces, and people need to figure out what their interests are and how they can best make their voices heard in whatever capacity that they're able to.
Exactly. I think that there are people that are waking up to the fact that their voices can make a difference. And they're learning more about how things work at the state capitol anyway, and getting ready for this coming legislative session.
With this incident happening this weekend, do you think it'll spur more people to get involved in government and in democracy, seeing how, you know, we put our trust in government, and some people might feel, they failed us this weekend?
Right. Well, sometimes government can seem like this very theoretical thing that exists in our lives, and then there are times like Saturday where it really comes into contact. And the legislators certainly need to hear from people about their own experiences so they can make laws that really work for the people.
Well, Virginia, at the public access room at the legislature is the point of contact for a lot of citizens who are just now figuring out how they can have an impact on their government. And there's a fair amount to learn, right?
There is. You know, it's everything from ideas for new laws to looking at legislation that's being introduced and how to move that forward. So asking for public hearings, offering testimony, that kind of thing. And the public access room, it's nice that Hawaii has a room like the public access room to provide citizens with the resources to participate. We're very lucky in that way.
And you've done some statewide workshops so that to sort of right that imbalance of access to the public access room, right? If you're not on Oahu, you have created mechanisms other than going to the Capitol, right?
Absolutely. We've gone statewide to do workshops. And we also have workshops on our website, lrbhawaii.org/PAR. And you can go to the workshops page and actually learn today.
And it's not just for new people. I use them all the time when I'm stuck or not quite sure what's going on. So it's great for those that have been in there for a while to just get the assistance or be like, did I read this correctly? So they're really great underutilized resource, I think.
Thank you. Yeah, we focus on the process. So most of the building is running around talking about policy. And in the public access room, we're all about how things work and how you can add your voice to the process.
One thing I know that your office is great for is just a wealth of information and flyers where you actually have copies of the lawmaker's signatures. So if you're looking at a bill, you want to see who introduced it and you can't read their scrawl, you have a way to be able to decipher, right. You know, who introduced it. And you have the directories and they're really very fabulous. I mean, I've used your room and it's a great resource.
Well, thank you. We're always looking for ways to improve, so we appreciate any input on new ideas.
There's a caller on the line, Richard from Haleiwa. Can you hear me, Richard?
Yes, I can.
What's on your mind?
Oh, so, one way to stay civically engaged is just through, like you said, having your voice heard, and the media is an important part of it, too. I was really sadly surprised on Saturday to listen to Hawaii Public Radio for 10 minutes or more, and there was no mention of the emergency, and it was on a pop radio station. I had my phone on HPR, and I did the traditional radio, and I found a pop station that informed me that Mazie Hirono, the senator, had tweeted it was a false alarm, and I thought that Hawaii Public Radio, the news station, would have addressed the issue much sooner.
Well, there are going to be a lot of after-action reports on the communications and over Saturday. And one of the things that Saturday pointed out, I think, is that people often don't really give much thought to government until there's an urgent need of that kind. Has that been your experience?
Probably. The lifestyle in Hawaii, like other places in the United States, people are very busy. They're trying to take care of their families. They have to support themselves. And so it takes a little additional effort to become more actively engaged in civic life. But it's important, and it's not impossible. It's pretty easy in Hawaii compared with other places to take part in the legislature, for example.
What are the rewards, Corey?
if you're lucky, you can get a bill passed. Or maybe, you know, sometimes there are ideas that you may not agree with, and it's just as important to speak up about those. But there are other smaller wins, too, that you can work with your legislator, because sometimes when you're just talking story with them, you come up with this whole new idea, or you actually understand where they're coming from and can maybe adjust how you're thinking and look at it from a new perspective. So for me, it's just about the conversation, getting involved, and that's a great pun for the show, unintentional. But it's really just about the communications, and it's not just coming to you from one direction. You're also contributing to that. I think for me, that's the reward. Even if it doesn't, you don't get that bill passed that first year, and I understand about that, but there are other ways to see your impact.
Well, understanding about that is key. We often hear that politics is the art of compromise, and I'm wondering if in today's political climate, compromise isn't getting farther away.
I think it depends on what level of government that you're looking at, especially right now, and how polarized we are. So obviously with the federal level, not much is really going on right now in the way of compromise. But, you know, I think that's why people are turning towards our counties and our state government, because they can have a much more direct impact. And these laws do affect our lives much more directly than federal laws.
If you're just joining us, our guests in the studio are Virginia Beck, coordinator at the Hawaii Legislature Public Access Room, Corey Tanita, executive director of Common Cause Hawaii, and Janet Mason, co-chair of the League of Women Voters. Let's hear from you. Call us at 941-3689 or 1-877-941-3689.
We keep hearing that we have an increasingly polarized political climate, and sometimes people say that means that the next election is going to see a much higher degree of citizen engagement, because people are aroused by what they read nationally and locally. Let me put the question to all three of you. Do you think that's a reasonable prediction?
I do think it's reasonable. Part of the key in getting people to turn out to vote is to create a certain amount of excitement. And
we did that.
We have that. We certainly have that. So I think, and for Hawaii, this is an election year. So all the work of the legislature is going to be taking place within that framework. Everybody in the House is up for re-election, and 12 of our senators are up for re-election. So it's going to be an interesting session.
Our governor is also up for re-election, and there's already been lots made about the fallout there. And if you had mentioned earlier, before we started the conversation, that if the election were held tomorrow, there might be a different outcome versus in the fall.
Yes, we'll just have to wait and see how all of that plays out. But we certainly have a dramatic example from the weekend of why citizens should get involved in public life.
We also this year have the vote on the ballot regarding the Constitutional Convention, which will probably get some people out to voice their yays or nays on that topic.
What's at stake in that vote?
Well, whether or not we hold a constitutional convention where delegates would be appointed to propose changes to the state constitution. And so some people who feel that state government needs some fundamental rewiring, that's what they would hope for.
And that's really what rewriting a constitution would be, right?
Right.
Yes, everything essentially in that if we had a convention would be up for debate and discussion. We'd have to see how it would play out as well. Like, you know, the legislature would have to select how many delegates would be done and when it would be held, and the convention itself would have to create rules to govern themselves. So a lot of unknowns right now, but it could potentially be exciting. Maybe.
Are you seeing some momentum toward it?
I've heard a lot more conversation about it than I have in the past. I mean, we do have our concerns, because a lot of what I've been hearing are issues that maybe the legislature hasn't acted on, but they're more policy issues, and they should be taken up in either the Hawaii Revised Statutes or the administrative rules, and not necessarily as a part of the Constitution, which is the guiding framework, not specific policies.
And tomorrow also marks the overthrow of the monarchy. How do you see that playing into the whole move for the convention?
I think it could play in an important way. At the last constitutional convention in 1978, that was when the Office of Hawaiian Affairs was created. There was more effort to recognize our cultural host with changes to street signs and so forth. And maybe the constitutional convention is an opportunity for voters to improve on the relationship with the Native Hawaiian community.
Just on the flip side of that, you know, there is the concern of money in politics. Since 1978, we do live in the post-Citizens United world right now. So we're looking at a lot of shiny objects right now. But on the flip side, it could be, you know, what don't we want to lose? What don't we want to put at risk? Do we want to put Native Hawaiian protections or environmental protections at risk too? So it's a longer conversation that we should be having.
But it's, you know, testifying at the legislature is one opportunity for people to participate in government. The Constitutional Convention is another. We don't have initiative and referendum in Hawaii, except we have initiative at the county level, I believe. So I do think people are looking for opportunities to make their voices heard in more than one way.
That kind of fits a call that we've got now from Gary on the Big Island. Gary, can you hear me?
Yes.
You had a question?
Yeah, well, my suggestion is that we have some sort of online forum in which the legislatures could provide their suggestions for certain laws, and that would allow the public to review and actually, you know, vote on their opinion on that law, and then the legislatures would have this, you know, record of public opinion before they actually voted upon it, and it would be more like an interactive legislation. So that is my suggestion, something along the lines of what Ross Perot suggested many, many years back. That's that, and I just want to make a couple other brief comments. Yes, on a constitutional convention. Yes, on initiative referendum, and yes, on or no on Citizens United. Throw the money out of the politics. Thank you, and I'll take your answer.
Thanks a lot, Gary. Virginia, that seems to be in your kuleana. He's talking about a statewide digital forum. Don't we have some version of that?
Well, I think a lot of legislators do solo, you know, putting things out there for voters and citizens to react to. Some states do have on their websites where you can look at a bill and vote yes or no on different pieces of legislation. How helpful that would be to them making policy, I'm not certain, quite honestly.
I want to say we kind of have that when you testify, they have the bills for you. And granted, it's not a ton of time. It's not enough time for me. But it's you know, and it is hard to fit into our really busy daily lives. But that is how one of the most direct ways to do that. Of course, you can always call and email and write letters to your legislators at any time, not during session as well. So I would say there are opportunities, but perhaps using technology is something we could explore.
Right. The Public Access Room has considered doing a sort of electronic public town square on our website. The problem is that we have to be very careful about being nonpartisan, and just how you frame questions can become very partisan very quickly. It gets quite political, as you can imagine.
We have another caller on the line. This one, Walter from Haiku. Walter, you have a question?
Yeah, I just... You know, in terms of thinking outside of the box, and we wanted to draw people into the elections, why not turn it into a lottery? Why not have a payoff for one person or several people to encourage them to actually come in and vote?
You mean a lottery as in
any laws or gambling laws? Or
you're talking about a lottery as in vote and maybe win $20 or...
Yeah, or maybe win $1 million.
Well, it would certainly act as an incentive. I think you might run into a few issues with that. Quite a few issues, as a matter of fact. But the issue of what makes people want to vote is you know, hangs in the air. And we've talked about the fact that Hawaii, in terms of voter participation, has gone from first to worst.
Right. Well, and I think sometimes people are discouraged about wondering whether their vote is actually going to make a difference.
Yeah.
And as we've seen in the country this year, sometimes those one votes, you know, do make a difference. I think Virginia, you know, there was a very close race. And I think the same thing happens at the legislature, where people are discouraged from offering testimony, thinking, a one voice, what difference is that going to make? And what I've seen, and I think what you've all seen at the legislature, is sometimes one story can stop a bill in its tracks. It really can make a difference and can open the legislators' eyes to a new way of looking at things.
When you talk about incentive, you know, we had this weekend, and I think that this false alarm will give people a chance, an opportunity to engage, whether it's someone from the neighborhood board, the mayor's office, or a radio station. I think everybody is going to reassess and reexamine protocol. You know, how well did we respond? How should we respond next time? So if we want a reason to engage, maybe this weekend was it.
That makes me think of how much we all depend on the press and the media, because this is a fairly complicated situation that we find ourselves in, but we want to know the facts. And we all rely on the press and the media a great deal to keep us informed about what's going on and prospects for new legislation, to dig a little deeper into, say, the issues surrounding our cesspool problems in Hawaii. The agenda before the legislature is very broad and it's very complicated. And so all of us have to rely on the free press for more facts.
The free press has been under a certain amount of assault locally and nationally for a few years now. And that assault seems to be having an effect. You know, we've accepted the term fake news as part of our vocabulary. Losing that fourth estate, let me put that question to you, Corey. How damaging is that, is the whole idea of that?
Very damaging and very scary, quite frankly, because that's exactly it. The fourth estate, we use that not only for our facts, but to hold other parties accountable. So if we don't have this open dialogue and if there is no trust, like, how are we functioning as a government, as a society? And we saw what happens when communication fails. So it's not only looking at it from that emergency perspective, and I hope people, they might be drawn into the politics or getting involved from this, but I hope they stay beyond it.
Yeah.
That's really what it is. I mean, I hope it doesn't always take an emergency like this to get new people to join. But, yeah, it's also about the long term and looking at how other policies, even the Manini ones, will affect our lives.
There's a call on the line from Michelle in Kaneohe having to do with Michelle, your question has to do with just getting access to your government, right?
Yeah, I'd like to know why more public hearings on issues aren't held in the evenings instead of during the day when people are at work. That's one issue. Another issue is when we hear that bills are held up in committee and are popular bills, like the Death with Dignity bill that just came up this last year, and the committee chair has all the power, that person can just squash the bill. That's another issue. Another one was we saw in the general election that the people of Hawaii were pretty much ignored when we said, hey, we really want to go with Bernie Sanders, and the DNC said, nope, we're going with Hillary Clinton no matter what. So when we see ourselves as citizens being basically ignored, it's like, why vote? Why bother?
So,
and that's not me personally. I vote anyway.
Well, but Michelle, you're saying that people have felt rebuffed, in a sense, by government in their attempts to get involved.
Yes, absolutely. We don't feel encouraged. We feel that people in government are, number one, entrenched. We see the same people being voted in time and time and time again. They keep making us promises, like every governor from a way back has promised, I will be the education governor. Everything's going to be great for education. And every single time I watch teachers being thrown under the bus.
You bring up education, and I think we should make the point that, yes, we did see, particularly with the Board of Education, where they changed their protocols, and the meetings and the public hearings that were held in the evening got switched to daytime. And we did hear some criticism about that, where even on the Board of Education, people didn't have access because they were at work. And, you know, when you're talking about your child's education, which is very near to a lot of families, you want access. And for a time there, we did not. And I don't know if that will change going forward.
There's another call on the line, Malia from Honolulu, addressing the whole idea of voter apathy in Hawaii. Good morning, Malia.
Good morning.
What's on your mind?
Well, I just been listening to your conversation and topic here, and you know what occurred to me is, and I've had this discussion even within my own family, is that, you know, there are, especially within the Native Hawaiian community, especially because we're observing the 125th anniversary of the overthrow, that there is a very large part of our population that feels that our government is somehow even illegal and doesn't work in their best interest. And so why should they be voting and be a part of the process, since the government that we have established does not accurately represent their political interests? And I think the other major aspect to voter apathy has a lot to do with the fact that we're so heavily dominated as a one-party system, that the Democratic Party is so firmly entrenched here, that for folks who are trying to be the voice of the minority, either independents or Republicans, that I think they often feel quite stymied, that even if they are successful in getting a voice or two into our legislature, they just don't get enough folks to make any traction at all. And so there isn't a healthy debate about how our government should work.
Thanks very much, Malia. We've got Janet Mason, co-chair of the League of Women Voters, and I suspect you've dealt with some of these issues before, Janet.
Sure. We hear your frustration. It's not that uncommon. We have to start with what we have. We have the opportunity to vote. We have the opportunity to testify at the legislature. But when I listen to you, Malia, it occurs to me that maybe you want to run for office. Don't forget, this is an election year, and
there's still time.
The deadline to register, to run for office, to toss your name into the hat is in June, and you can find out more about this on the Office of Elections website, and it sounds like you have some great ideas.
And I just want to add, like, I do also understand these frustrations. I hear it all the time, but I just, you know, don't give up, and especially don't not vote. Don't make it, you know, don't be quiet and sit in the corner. That doesn't help anything. If you're saying that, yeah, these politicians get reelected all the time, or we don't have these options, they're not listening to us, it doesn't help if you're not voting. It's just kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Of course you're going to get voted if you're not there to make your voice heard. And I mean, and don't get down on the one vote doesn't matter. It really does. Like, we've seen races here in Hawaii lost by less than 50 votes. So it absolutely does. Don't be discouraged. Please, please keep going.
And I think sometimes, you know, as far as the hearings being in the evenings, you know, if you really do want that to happen, you really need to get in touch with the legislators, and especially with leadership, and let them know it's important. I know that there have been times that they have Saturday hearings on issues that are of great importance to people, and they know a lot of people are coming out to testify. So it's not impossible for that to happen, but I think more voices need to be raised.
Yes, and then also encouraging them to use video conferencing technology so that, you know, people not in urban Honolulu and our neighbor islands can get access as well, and recording and posting those recordings online so you can access them whenever is convenient for you. So there are ways to, I think, improve the communication.
We're asking people to call in, listeners to call in and weigh in on citizen engagement, and I'm particularly thinking of citizen engagement on neighbor islands. And if you're on a neighbor island, you can call us at 1-877-941-3689. Now, let me put a specific question. Do you feel that living on a neighbor island limits your access to what's going on at the Capitol? Numbers to call are 941-3689 on Oahu, 1-877-941-3689 on neighbor islands. We've got Virginia Beck of the Legislature's Public Access Room, Corey Tanita of Common Cause Hawaii, and Janet Mason of the League of Women Voters with us, and we're inviting you to call in. But since nobody's calling in right at the moment, let's check in with Scott from Honolulu. Scott.
Aloha, everyone.
Hi.
Great conversation, and certainly well needed. I just wanted to comment a little bit about getting people involved. I've worked around the legislature, this legislature, on specific issues for 35 years and organized for many, many issues, including death with dignity. And I'm the founder of the Hawaii Death with Dignity Society. With that said, my experience has been in attracting people who will actually do something, and I view do something as one, get to know your legislature, two, make phone calls to your legislature, three, send emails to your legislature, and four, turn out for events in person to testify. With that said, it's very limiting because even though people are passionate about a particular issue, because of the time of day, as someone mentioned, that the hearings are held, because of so many people working two or three jobs and just trying to survive, many, many people who would want to be engaged simply can't. And that leaves it to those folks like myself who manage these issues to identify those people by their issues and databases and keeping them informed. And if you're lucky, you'll get one of those things, one of those actions I just mentioned. The other thing that's worth knowing is because of our social makeup here, so many second languages spoken, so many people from other countries, Micronesia, for example, those folks are struggling to stay alive, and they can't get involved, and so we need advocates for them. And that's why I think the League of Women Voters and Common Cause and all these organizations are so vital. But what I tell people first is the first thing they need to do is call or go down and actually meet their legislator and tell them, I'm a constituent living in your district, and this is what I think on whatever issue they're passionate about. And with that said, I'll leave you. Thank you.
Scott, thanks very much for calling in. And, you know, I'm wondering, as going around the room, how many of us, we Hawaii citizens, could say who our state representative is, who our state senator is, who our council member is. Mm-hmm. I doubt if many could tell you who's on their neighborhood board, I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, we had some volunteers from their seniors in high school, and so they surveyed their classmates. Most of them could not name a single state legislator. And most of them did get the governor correct, but
No Senate president or...
Just a handful, like maybe like four out of like 30.
So what does that tell you?
Yeah.
But the legislature's website does make it easy to find out who your state representative and senator are. All you need to do is put in your street name, and there you've got it with contact information and everything.
And you were talking about neighborhood boards. Folks should also attend those neighborhood board meetings. I know the response from various communities is really uneven. Some communities have great participation and lots of people running for seats. I think Kailua had a large number. And you look at some of the other neighborhoods where the people in the room who are giving reports outnumber the community members that are there at your neighborhood board. And you can find out all kinds of things about, you know, garbage pickup and water rates and things like that that really have an immediate impact on your life. And maybe that's when one place to start. And if you don't like what your neighborhood board is doing, maybe you should also run for office and get on the neighborhood board and talk about issues that are important to you as a community.
We haven't specifically talked about registering to use the legislative website. That's a key to unlocking much of the information we're talking about, including contact information for members of the legislature. It's free to register. It's easy to register. And that website is terrific. It really is. It's a way that you can submit testimony. You can keep on top of the status of bills. It's really very important if you want to get more actively involved.
You're talking about Hawaii.gov?
It's actually capital.hawaii.gov.
Capital.hawaii.
Yes, and you can also sign up for hearing notices so that you don't miss an opportunity to testify, find bills, all kinds of things on that website.
One thing I know that as a member of media that has been very helpful is a lot of schedules of meetings are posted online, whether it's the Honolulu City Council or the Neighborhood Board or the state legislature or just state government in general. You go to Hawaii.gov, you can basically see what's happening each day of the week. And also deep down, you can go down and look at agendas. So if there's an issue that's important to you, you can get that information just right at your fingertips. I know the Department of Land and Natural Resources, they've got a terrific website where you can do that. You know, you can go and look at their board meetings, dig down, look at the submittals. And sometimes if you have a misconception about an idea, you can go to the source and you can get the facts right there online. And that might help you hone your testimony or find out, oh, I was wrong. You know, maybe they're doing what I want them to do, but it's just an invaluable resource when you can go online, look at the agendas, look to see when an issue is scheduled before a legislature or another body of government.
You know, you sometimes get the feeling, Virginia, at the legislature, that it's a game that is weighted toward those who understand the mechanisms of insider baseball. And, of course, that's what you at the Public Access Room are working to counteract. But is there some fairness to that allegation?
Well, there is. I mean, in democracy, power is vested in the people, but power isn't worth anything if you don't know how to use it. So certainly understanding how the legislature works is invaluable. And Public Access Room is around to help.
We've got a call online, too. Gerald from Kailua has a question.
Hi, good morning. Great show and very informative. I'm going to make a brief statement and then just listen off air. I mean, let you folks answer and I'll get off the line. Let's assume that we have a constitutional convention. If there isn't control of campaign spending, essentially the special interest will be able to buy off this election. It'll be very easy because the districts in a con are generally smaller. So you can, all you need to do is get your 30% and you basically can control politically the convention. And so it seems to me that every time that there's an attempt at campaign spending, somehow it gets to the Supreme Court and it gets shot down because in the end, the First Amendment does trump campaign spending. Pardon the pun on that one. Shouldn't some effort be paid to creating a cybernetic government? And that is that we are online all the time, and we go super digital, so that we can basically minimize the fact that people can buy off elections, and that we can have a kind of built an electronic consensus of starting with the community. I know it's a little bit of a convoluted question, but your folks are more than qualified to answer, and I'll take the answer as I get off the line. Thank you very much for your program.
I'm wondering, that strikes me as a sort of a convoluted pathway that favors those with computer access, and that's a problem right there, right?
And those who are willing to participate. You know, we already have seen how low our voter turnout is, and it's so electronic consensus would really rely on the people who are engaged and involved.
And we have to ask ourselves whether conducting government voting, for instance, online is secure enough. Not yet. Not yet. Maybe someday.
How insecure is electronic voting?
Well, let's put it this way. They're still using paper forms and such right now, and there are still concerns. I mean, we do have security measures in place, such as signature verification and matching and audits and so forth that have that. But we've seen what happens, and again, at the federal level with those races and that potential shenanigans going on. And so we need to find the technology that will work for us. Some have suggested maybe like blockchain voting or so forth, but there are always new technologies coming out every day. So it's a matter of finding the system that would work for us and not exclude people, again, as you said, to access it.
We did see them do an experiment with the neighborhood board elections, and that was challenging because you're trying to get people to remember to go and vote, and the deadline is tomorrow, and we don't have enough either participation in that aspect. So I guess there'll be some reevaluation of that system to see how well it went.
The other thing that comes to mind with the electronic consensus idea is, you know, the way the system works now is we are electing people who are going to be able to focus on lawmaking, and there's a certain expertise that can develop there. And I think we want to be careful before we throw that out completely.
The whole idea of taking expertise in recent election cycles, we've seen people running for office saying, I'm not a politician, right? And which has always struck me as saying, you know, I don't have the skills required from the job I'm asking you to elect me for. But, you know, somehow the idea of being able to work the process, being able to be a politician as defined in the dictionary, has been sort of devalued. And yet you kind of have to be a politician to do politics, don't you?
To make things work. And I should mention that I work for a nonpartisan office, so I have to be very careful about not inserting my own ideas into the conversation. So I'll just be quiet now.
Common Cause is also nonpartisan, but I will take that. I mean, for the word, you know, politician, I think just because of the environment that we're in, it's become like, quote unquote, a dirty word.
Yeah.
Just like lobbyists. Lobbyists are dirty. But that's not the case. I mean, I am a registered lobbyist because I am paid to influence legislation. That is the state definition. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to understand what we're talking about, because people, right, have their, like, you're not a lobbyist. You don't smoke cigars in the back room. And I'm like, no, but I still am, and I still need to do all these disclosures and all that. So I think maybe we need to, you know, reevaluate how we're using these words, and they're not always so negative as we're making it out to be.
Trusting the process. We seem to have, you know, we've come full circle to that particular subject. Trust in the institutions we've got set up for ourselves.
Yes. Trust, as we've talked about, is real important. Certainly there are good opportunities for reform, for improving the process, but we shouldn't disregard the great opportunities we have, especially here in Hawaii, especially with our prize-winning legislative website. It really is terrific.
I'm not quite ready to blow up the system yet. There are options. And
that's a relief.
Yes. But it is so important that people do get involved in some way, shape, or form, whether it's just voting, whether it's testifying, whether it's running for office, whether it's serving on a board or a commission. It doesn't matter. There are so many ways to get involved, but that's what makes our democracy work. The more voices, the more representative our democracy.
I want to echo that. I think the system, for all of its merits and demerits, it really works well when people are involved. Certainly, it doesn't work if we have hearings and no one comes to testify. That doesn't serve anyone. We don't want the legislators to have to do this alone. We really need the people to be involved.
Truthfully, the legislature needs us, needs all of us, because the issues they're facing are very complicated. There is a limit to how much money we can devote to different problems, and that's an important function of our legislature, is to set priorities through the budget. And so they need to hear from us what the public is thinking about these matters.
We've only got about a minute and a half left, so let me put this question around the table real quick. Are you optimistic about seeing heightened citizen engagement in the coming year, Corey?
Heck yes. And I have volunteers, and we train them on how to testify and all of that. And I think it's the best when I see them. I'm like, hey, what are you doing here? And they're like, oh, I'm opposing the bill that you're for. And I'm like, oh, that's okay. I'm just glad you're here and putting those skills to use. And we'll just work together on the 99% of issues we do agree on. So that's always exciting to me when you see new faces and familiar faces.
Yeah, and the public access room has been approached by a number of different people and groups interested in getting involved this session. So I am optimistic that more people will step forward.
I'm even optimistic that our voting's going to be modernized so that people can vote by mail, and so that we'll have automatic voter registration, and we'll preserve that way, we'll enhance that way to participate in democracy.
Well, we got a good chance of getting our participation numbers up in the coming primary and general elections.
Right.
Yeah, especially with Election Day voter registration now available in 2018. So hopefully that'll help as well.
And I would just encourage people to use the public access room. If you don't know where to start, we're a great place to start the ball rolling.
Couldn't agree more. Let's thank our guests for today's program. Janet Mason is co-chair of the League of Women Voters. Virginia Beck, coordinator at the Hawaii Legislature's Public Access Room, and Corey Tanita is the executive director of Common Cause Hawaii.
And we thank you, the listener, for joining us on today's show. If your call didn't make it on air during today's discussion, you can still contact the Talkback line and leave your comments. That number is 808-792-8217. We're especially interested in your experiences related to Saturday morning's disaster alert.
You also can send us an email at talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org. If you want to listen back to today's show, check out the Conversation podcast at hawaiipublicradio.org. I'm Chris Vandercook.
And I'm Catherine Cruz. Join us tomorrow for more of The Conversation.